The Lou Truck Show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, home of the best podcasts like Byer Brown Tech and Stuff at bbtas.com and The Mike Tech Show at miketechshow.com. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
I'm your resident Ferengi coming to you live from the FCA, Lou Costanzo.
Kapwa from Kronos. This is the resident Klingon, Brian Dedimore.
Welcome to the Lou Truck Show. You're listening to show number 70 for Thursday, September 30th, 2010. La di da di da. Wonder when we're gonna start the show.
I just said you're on the air, numbnut. So talk already.
Huh? I am. Oh, I don't hear clocks. Where's clocks? Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lou Truck Show. I'm your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main webpage is www.lutrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments. Our email address is lutrekshow, and that is all one word, at gmail.com. Keep your email somewhat brief and to the point, and we will work them in as part of a future show. You can follow us on Twitter by going to lutrekshow.com/Twitter, as well as Facebook and MySpace by doing the same thing, lutrekshow.com/MySpace or Facebook. And don't forget, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. Where there's a whole bunch of great podcasts. Like, for instance, how about if you're a Mac, there's the Mac Host, the Gamer Weekly. There's others, a whole bunch of different podcasts at Tech Podcast, where this last week on, I think it was Saturday, I was interviewed by the Tech Podcast. Todd Cochran had me on a roundtable, and my discussion for the roundtable was Google Instant and my feelings on its lack of child safety. I would really like you to listen to the Tech Podcast if you've got children who use the internet. Listen to the roundtable. I'll have a link in the main page because I actually discovered it's worse than I thought. There are ways that you can set Google to have a strict filtering, but yet, if your kid is smart, and a lot of kids are smarter than some of us adults, they'll figure out a way to get rid of it. So go to techpodcast.com or just follow the link at my main page and you'll see it. So anyway, let's go ahead and pull our co-host in. Brian, how are you doing today?
A whole lot better than I was last week.
Yeah, I hear you. Well,
folks, let me give you a hint. You walk into a bar and they're serving blue Hawaiian martinis. Don't get it unless you plan on sleeping for the rest of the night, because it will put you on your butt. And what's worse, it looks like Romulan ale.
Yeah. So
you definitely know it's going to punch you in the butt.
Wow.
Hey, put me on my keisters. That's pretty hard to do.
Really? Okay. Well, I understand.
Well, hey, I'm 320 pounds for Pete's sakes. It's hard to put a 320-pound alcoholic out of his misery.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know.
And I've drank with some of the best out there in Star Trek, Phantom, so.
Well, as they say, the show must go on, and I had to scramble enough, figured out, just go ahead and do season two of Deep Space Nine, but I was ill-prepared, and the show really reflected that, I'm afraid. When I was editing it, I had to resist about 6 times to just chuck the whole thing, but I said, no, let's just go on. And as a matter of fact, I got...
I looked for it. Did you post it?
Oh, it's on. Yeah, you know, it was put on Thursdays. I did get a comment back on my Facebook page from Bill, one of our faithful listeners. Bill, it's thank you very much. It says, liking the new episode is out. It seems like one or both of you have been sick last several shows. get the good stuff in those hypo sprays from one of the truck docks, would you, and get well. Oh, Bill, you don't know the half of it.
You have no idea, Bill.
Oh, my goodness.
And Bill, Lou will tell you, I went through, what, almost a month of being lucky to even be on and still be able to do a show, because there for a while there, about every three words was hitting the mute button for me, and it was really getting to the point where I just couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
So I know how you feel. Bill, trust me. I've had some really, really potent antibiotics in the last couple of weeks to try to knock some, and I'm still not done. And I see my doctor, I think, sometime in mid-October there at the VA, and I'm just going to flat out tell him, give me a lung test.
Yeah.
Because I think I've got something other than just a progressive bronchial, because this is getting to the point where I walk into work and I'm have to literally have an oxygen tank by the time I walk from my wife's end of the hall to my end of the hall.
Jeez.
And it's getting ridiculous.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And you don't know this because you weren't here for the last show, but the Friday before the last show, we took our daughter and my wife to the doctor because they were both having coughing and, you know, respiratory problems. My daughter had bronchitis. My wife had pneumonia, and it was the Friday before the show, and so he was like, you know, maybe you should get this looked at the hospital. And so we said, no, let's just go ahead and try an antibiotic. So he put her on Leviquin. We went home, and just before we left the doctor's office, she goes, he gave me a cell phone number. I'm like, well, I highly doubt that it was he was hitting on her. So obviously he's concerned about it. So I think, you know, why don't you want to go in? She said, yes. So we just went into the hospital, and she did have pneumonia in front and back of her right lung.
Ew.
Yeah, so it was pretty bad. You know, we were glad they had her for 2 days on a high dosage of Leviquin IV. So we'll be getting that bill here when the insurance carves that out. I expect that to be pretty high. And then,
well, I was thinking a $300 antibiotic, if that gives you any kind of indication of just what I was taking.
Yeah,
it cost me, in the end, with discounts and other stuff, it cost me like $60 for it.
Wow.
So yeah, I know.
And I wanted to get
this. This is already after the fact. I already had a very strong antibiotic because I just had my tooth pulled.
Ouch.
Yeah, 3 days before that. So yeah, I was kind of.
Well,
not
I wanted
feeling
to,
too good.
I wanted to get myself checked at the same time they were there. But I said, no, I'll just see what happens. And I put it off, and then finally the next Wednesday I went in because I was coughing up a storm, and I still got it. And he said, it's sinusitis. I thought, wait a minute. My daughter has bronchitis. My wife had pneumonia, and I've got sinusitis? Boy, what a putz. Anyway, but I'm talking about me, not the doctor, by the way. But oh well, what are you gonna do? All right, well, so we went on, so you know how that goes. But this week there's a couple things going on. I want to bring up something that Brian didn't know I was gonna do. And the weekend of October 1st through the 3rd is National Fallen Firefighters Weekend. And so, you know, we want to give a shout-out to the firefighters. Hopefully we've got some that are listening to the show. My voice sounds like it. And I have a brother-in-law who was a battalion chief on the Omaha Fire Department. So, you know, I have a special place for firefighters, obviously. And do you ever notice that firefighters, especially ones that have been on the job a long time, they seem to have the same voice?
Yep.
Yeah, it's that smoke. They're eating a lot of smoke. And I was doing a little search, and I found something, a little anthem for the firefighter. And this is, I'd like to play it now, and hopefully I don't get hit with the copyright infringement. But here's something called Eye of the Storm. Take a listen. You can't see it, but just take a listen.
Sledgehammer swinging warrior, a lot of throwing, wall crawling, body searching, wild man, a highly heated room feeling, smoke crawling, blind man, a dead man, reviver and finder of all survivors, an engine driver, lights and sirens pumping, wild line diver.
In the flames, a unit is born that has to play in the eye of the storm. No second guess, none thinking twice, they put their own up to save others.
I am a buck knife packing, seatbelt cutting, body dragger, car cribbing, foam spitting, loading, going, body bagger, roof sounding, trench cutting, ventilating, axe man, power tool toting and roping, high rise Pac Man. I war with the devil in back drafts and flashes with halogens and hydrants and 500 GPM blasting.
In the flames, a unit is born that has to play in the eye of the storm. No second guess, none thinking twice.
Shield melting, leatherhead dropping in, repelling a chest compressor, a nozzle man, a wall breach and crash rescue, hazmat and soldier, a brother throwing any brother down over my shoulder.
In the flames, a unit is born that has to play in the eye of the storm. No second guess, none thinking twice, they put their own up to save others' lives.
No.
This one's going out to all the volunteer firefighters putting their lives on the line and asking for nothing in return.
Don't be afraid.
Doing it for the love.
Coming for you.
Doing it for the passion.
That was a firefighter's anthem, Eye of the Storm. And I'll have a link to that anthem on the main page as well. So, what should we talk about today? Well, we are very close to Starbase Indy. And Brian muted himself.
Sorry, I thought I unmuted. I must have re-clicked it. Anyway, I do have something to say towards Starbase Indy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm arranging to have a guest next week.
Really?
Yes, a surprise guest.
A surprise guest.
Yes.
Okay. Hopefully that surprise guest will be happy.
It'll be female. I know how you like females, and no, it won't be Kim.
No. Well, now I'm really stumped. Okay, well, then I guess we'll be waiting for that to happen. All right.
Someone new, virgin territory, someone new we have never had on before.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the latest on Starbase Indie News? Any further actors or anything?
No, just the standard, we know who's coming.
Okay.
Which is our buddy, our Borg buddy. I can't never say. Pardon me, my friend.
Manu
is going to be there with Tim Russ and Ethan Phillips and Deborah Downing.
Yeah.
Those are the, and who's the writer?
Riddick.
Riddick is the other. That's all who's coming in.
And, of course, 5-Year Mission will be there. They'll be the musical guests, and
we've
heard their music before, so.
They're good.
Yes, they actually put out another one, Beyond Miri, and,
Actually, they're going to work with me and putting something else out for us, for something completely different off of their uniqueness.
Really?
Yes. Since you're not going to be at Starbase Indy, I guess I can give you the your Christmas gift a little early this year.
They're going to do a Lutrec song?
Yes, they are.
God.
They're going to do a Lutrec show. They're going to do a Lutrec show. Opening song.
Oh my God! You're kidding.
No, I asked them if they would be willing to sit down with me and put one together.
Oh Lord! Oh, I'm gonna miss that. You're gonna videotape that for me, won't you?
Yeah.
Oh good. Okay.
I'll do my best. They got videos, so they can record it for me.
There we go.
I might even have to dress. I might even have to find me a Ferengi and dress him up looking like you.
Let me think here. Which Ferengi could look like Lou?
We'll buy a Ferengi. We'll rent a Ferengi full head.
Yeah.
Fake one of those fake heads. We'll stick it on somebody that's heavyweight.
Oh man.
Have them in the video with me.
Oh wow.
Since I can't get Lou there.
Oh, Lou really wants to, but...
Well, guys, let's face it. Reality stinks, and the bottom line is Lou, my dear Lou, works retail.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Starbase Indy falls on that dreaded selling day they call Black Friday. So Lou is not going to be able to make it to Starbase Indy. So that means we're going to have to sit in, and we're going to have to pull up the what the Colts called the ready reserves.
Yeah.
That's what they're basically playing on is the practice team now. I mean, it's bad when you get a football team that pulls up a, what is it, the, the people they skirmish with, the practice, member from the practice team, mm-hmm. comes in, has a 100-yard day, and gets a touchdown.
Okay.
So we're going to pull in the practice team alternate. Okay. We're going to pull. God, you can tell my brain's working tonight. Tim. Is it Tim?
Yep. Reverend.
Yeah, we're going to bring him in at Starbase Indy to help us, mm-hmm. Help me do the show there at Starbase Indy. So we're going to be running with the co-host and the backup.
Yep, he's our show reverend. You know how to get him to record a little prayer for us. I could play the prayer once in a while before we start the show.
Please give these poor guys the ability to speak.
Yeah, really. Dear Lord, give them their voices back.
And please have Dad more quick coughing.
Oh yeah, no kidding. Well, I'm doing it too. I'm just muting myself good enough. And the last few nights have been trouble sleeping, but last night I tried something that actually, in retrospect, doesn't sound like a good idea. I got in the freezer and got out a ice bag. We have a little ice thing that has little water bubbles on it. I put on a t-shirt and I set that ice thing on my chest last night, and it felt pretty good. And I left it on and fell asleep, and I woke up a little later. It was melted. I didn't cough once, but I started to cough early in the middle of the night. So I got up and got the second ice bag, went back, laid down, and it seemed to do the trick. Well, the thing is, they say that heat is better to loosen up a cough than ice, but
right.
It felt good.
If it works good for you, go for it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, you know, I know we're a Trek show. We don't normally go through other non-Trek related, but here's something that was interesting.
The Sesame Street controversy?
I've never heard of this girl, Katy Perry. I've never heard her before. I'll probably go up and talk to my 8-year-old, and she'll probably tell me who she is. Yes, she came onto Sesame Street with a dress that was just too hot for Elmo.
Elmo seemed to enjoy it.
Elmo loved them. Elmo want to go.
And to me, I thought that was kind of being petty.
Yeah, I think so. Kids would never look at that. But, you know, I mean, of course, now if Elmo was like, they're like pouches. You know, maybe that's a different story. But so I was just thinking, if she's a singer, and supposedly she is, I don't know, why don't we, I came up with a song for her. So, Katy, listen really carefully. This is for you. You know how I hate doing this? I'm too sexy for the street. Too sexy for the street. For Sesame Street. And I'm too sexy for Elmo. Too sexy for Elmo. That way he ran away. And I'm too sexy for Big Bird. Too sexy for Big Bird. The way I'm showing cleavage. I'm a teen slut, you know what I mean. When I shake my big boobies on Sesame Street. On Sesame Street. On Sesame Street. Yeah, I get them all hard on Sesame Street. Yeah.
What's so bad is she ain't even that big.
No, I didn't think
she belongs in the itty bitty teeny club.
But apparently Elmo was blowing into him and poofed him, just made him look pretty big, you know. So
I personally, I'm sorry, Sesame Street, I loved you as a kid. I mean, that just tells you how cryptic Sesame Street is, okay, folks? I loved it as I loved Sesame Street. I adored Sesame Street. I grew up with Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch and the Cookie Monster. But come on, there's a point to stupidity. I watched what she was wearing.
Yeah.
And there wasn't nothing that was too awfully bad about what she was wearing. I can't see why everyone was throwing a tizzy fit over it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, folks. There's a point to madness. Now, if she was walking in with a halter top looking like she was from New York City, I mean, a streetwalker off New York City, that's one thing. But she was very respectfully dressed. Okay? And I really thought that was just overplaying it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, Sesame Street, but I'm an adult, and I've had little kids that watch your show, and I think you guys overreacted. And I think you need to give this woman an apology for what you did.
Yes. Yep.
I'm sorry, if you're honorable. But let's face it, they're a corporation. There's no such thing as honor in a corporation.
No.
It's all about the money.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And let's face it, Tickle Me Elmo tickles everybody.
Yeah, you can say that again.
Oh. He sure got to tickle her.
I wonder if
I had to throw that in.
Yeah, I wonder if backstage. Don't look, Dorothy. Anyway, all right. Well, you got my link there on Skype.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. And now it's time for Trek Birthday. The Lou Trek Show is proud to wish a very happy birthday to those who have made Trek the wonderful, happy place it is. Happy birthday wishes go out to... Since I waylaid Brian on this one, I get the chance to start this out by saying happy birthday to Avery Brooks. Oh my goodness, I had no idea he was this old. Poor Avery turning 61 on October 2nd. Wow, dude.
Oh man, because I was bustering here trying to find a Klingon, because you know me, guys, I got to have at least one Klingon birthday, and with all of our birthdays, and I've been banging my head for the last 3 weeks looking for, because see, I missed last week, and I was looking the week before. I think we found one, didn't we? Yeah. And I've been looking around. I was looking around the week before that, trying to find a Klingon while we were doing the show for next week. And I just found one.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The one, someone I didn't even expect, because I know him from when he played a different character.
Uh-huh.
But now that I see him, I know who he is as a Klingon. Man, I wish we'd get him over at Starbase Indy.
Oh yeah, who?
Veteran film actor Richard Hurd.
Really?
Yes, he played. He was in the original V series too. On top of everything else, he was in T.J. Herker.
Oh yes, yes.
He was. He was in Sequest.
Uh huh.
And he's been the third national vice president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Incredible. I'm looking at his picture. I had no idea he played a Klingon.
Yeah, and on top of that, he's a member of the Enterprise Blues Band.
Really?
Yes. With the other members are Vaughn Armstrong, Casey Briggs, Steve Rankin, and Ronald B. Moore.
Huh. Okay.
And he sings backup vocals. But everyone knows him. If everyone who knows Klingon... We'll know him. He's played Klingon Lacor. He was in Birthright 1 and 2.
Wow. I never. Huh.
And he played Admiral Paris's father.
Tom Paris's. Yeah, he was Admiral
Paris. Yeah, Tom Paris's daughter. I mean, father. God, I'm having a good day. Yes, so yes. Happy birthday to you, Richard. I'm glad to see you're still around, and happy birthday from us.
Absolutely.
To the Trek Show.
And now here, I'm going to go on to an actress who I've bagged on many times and said that she should have died in Deep Space Nine. Of course, I'm talking about Rosalyn Chow. I'm sorry. I think the writers made a terrible, terrible mistake when you had the episode where Miles O'Brien marries Keiko Ishikawa. Yeah, because I don't know. I thought her character sucked on Deep Space Nine. You know.
Uh-huh.
I hate to say it, but every time she came on, I just wanted to beat her through the screen. But anyway, you know, I guess it's kind of like the lady who played Dr. Pulaski when she was on L.A. Law, or even on, you know... Yeah, when she was on L.A. Law, she was like a villain. Everybody hated her, but it's just a role. So, happy birthday, Rosalind.
Now I have one. He's actually one of my favorite character actors.
Mm-hmm.
because every time he gets an episode, he plays a very unique character. He kind of reminds me of another actor that does very good character parts, which is one of our guests at Starbase Indy, Ethan Phillip. Yeah. I mean, Ethan
yeah. Phillips.
Yeah. Jason Alexander.
He's going to be my next one. And, of course, we all know him as George Costanza on Seinfeld. Yeah. Not Costanzo. Costanza.
But he played a really, really evil part in Criminal Minds. He was a college professor that was a serial killer.
Really?
And he played that role really, very, 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 very well. I mean, it's like, you can't believe this man's evil. But just listening to what he did just makes you like, oh, God, this man did this. Ooh. Yeah. So, yeah, I love anything he gets a role in because he just really brings the character to life when he plays it.
Oh, yeah.
But I also picked out something else, too, that most people wouldn't know of on a birthday. And I thought I'd bring this up because most people wouldn't have understand this one. He's been in other roles since he's been out of Star Trek. One of them is Law and Order.
Uh-huh.
Besides his part of playing a Cardassian in DS9, Tears of the Prophet.
Uh-huh.
Bob Kirsch, K-I-R-S-H.
Okay.
He played a Cardassian, believe it or not. And he played a, because I remember him as a Cardassian. But after I read what he's been under, some of the stuff he's done, some of his other work, I remember him in Law and Order.
Okay.
So happy birthday to you, Bob.
All right.
He's 2 years older than I am. He's 48 today.
Cool. And there was one who really wasn't in front of the screen. I guess this guy was behind the screen. Directing 2 episodes of Deep Space Nine and 4 episodes of Star Trek Voyager. He played Potsy in Happy Days, so happy birthday goes out to Anson Williams, who's also age 61. Wow. Amazing.
didn't know Potsy was that old, did you?
Sit on it, Potsy. Sit on it.
And I bet you any time he does a public appearance, someone reminds him of that one line every single time, too.
Oh, I'll bet. Sit on it. Of course, God. It's better than playing Ralph Mouth. I don't know if I
Oh, that's
do that.
Even worse.
All right. So, do you have any more? Because I'm out of people I know.
Well, I'm trying to find the... There was one here that was... I thought we'd give the... Our listeners something unique and different today.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to get him to pop up here because if it's the one I'm thinking of. Yes. Michael Warner. Wagner, pardon me. Sorry.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He's passed away at 44.
Yeah.
Wrote several episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. He was also co-executive producer of the series in 1989. He wrote for Kojak, Rockford Files, Hill Street Blues. He passed away from a brain aneurysm, but his writings include Evolution, Booby Trap, and The Survivors.
Okay.
And he also looks like he wrote some stuff in the Captain's Log, the unauthorized complete Star Trek voyages.
Well,
I thought I'd pull that one out because I thought he deserved to be heard. We usually hit the actors most of the time, but we never really hit the people behind the scenes, the people who actually make the show, those people who write it and everything. So I thought we would pull that one out real quick and let everyone know about him.
Cool. Well, okay.
You got anything? You got another one?
Yeah, I do. I have one more, I think. And the reason why I brought this up is he's the oldest birth date in the group between the last show we were supposed to do and like the first part of October, we're talking about Abraham Sofer, S-O-F-A-E-R. Never heard of him. Well, we've heard of him, but he was born in October of 1896. And no, he's not alive no more. He died in 1988. But on Charlie X, he played the Thasian. What is a Thasian? It was that green face that was on the Enterprise. And he was talking.
Oh, okay.
And he also played on Spectre of the Gun as the Malkoshian. Malkoshian, wasn't it? The little...
I'm not for sure.
Hand puppet monster.
Oh, okay.
With the bright yellow red eyes. And so, happy birthday, Abraham, and rest in peace all in the same breath.
Now, I got the last one, and then we're done. I pulled out another writer. This is my day to, instead of honoring the Klingons, I'm also honoring the writers, because, again, without them, we wouldn't have Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Samuel Peeples, P-E-E-P-L-E-S, he passed away in 1997. Mm-hmm. He was a writer who worked on Star Trek, the original series, Where No Man Has Gone Before. Huh. And Star Trek, the animated series, Beyond the Farthest Star. And he also story editor for Jason of live-action spinoff of Space Academy, where James Doohan was a regular on the show as Commander Calavon.
Okay.
Cool. So happy birthday, everybody.
All right. Well, that was certainly fun. So let's go ahead and go into the next topic and earn our accreditation. And now it's time for the Tech Podcast Network segment of The Tech of Trek, where we take a look at a piece of futuristic Trek technology that we either use today or are being worked on. Now, you remember on the original series brought the idea of the bio bed. You just lay in the thing and...
Yeah.
What I never understood is why would they make a exercise device that you put in the wall, and Captain Kirk would always push his feet in the wall? Had to be some better way of exercising that way. But anyway, they always did the tricorder. And now, you know, think about it, today's physicians make use of the tricorder in certain ways, like medical imaging, MRIs, the CAT scans, which, by the way, my wife had to get at the hospital. So, and, you know, there's other things that NASA's testing on the space station that are similar to that. There's a lab-on-a-chip application development portable testing system. It could detect the presence of bacteria or fungi in record time. So, I mean, this is pretty far-out stuff, and maybe if I had one of these guys check me out, it might have been more than just sinusitis. But I'm not going to argue with the doctor. He says sinusitis, that's what it is. So, anyway, the device was tested aboard the International Space Station. So, I think medical technology is really coming along.
It's catching up.
Oh, yeah, you know, and... Dr. McCoy, although he had help, he was able to transplant a brain, which was one of the worst Trek shows of all time. Spock's brain. Brain in brain? What is brain? And, you know, now, I mean, although surgeons haven't been able to do anything with the brain, they now, fascinating, they can now do surgery from... another state.
Yeah, robotics.
Robotics to do surgery. That's simply amazing. So I guess if you go wrong, who do you sue for malpractice? IBM? So here, you know, I'm going to put a...
I love that one.
Yeah.
Who do you sue, IBM?
Put another call out to Buyer Brown. Solve this mystery, Buyer. I mean, what kind of... you know, what kind of operating system is going to be in the surgical suite? We can't trust Microsoft. It a blue screen. you know, Mac.
We'll have to bring that up on the Bagel Tech Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Macintosh, Mac costs too much and it's proprietary. So how about Linux? Linux is free, but the problem is you can't understand Linux. It's hard to grasp. So I don't know what technology is running the medical tricorder these days.
Oh, that is just so funny.
Oh, yeah. It's like George Carlin used to say, the things I think about when I'm all alone and the power goes out. Yeah, so.
You're bad.
To the bone. And now it's time for my personally favorite segment we affectionately call Things That Make You Go BS, where what's being said or what's being done in Trek just plain makes you go bullshit. And my BS moment actually comes out of the new movie, and we just found this as we were playing around. The famous Vulcan salute was invented by Leonard Nimoy, although it was based on the priestly blessing performed by the Jewish... I'm not Jewish. Can you say that word?
No, don't Kohanim, look at me.
Kohanim. Kohanim, the Jewish Kohanim. But anyway, the point is, it's been in the Jewish culture, and of course that's where Leonard Nimoy got it. Now, you would think that the guy who played the new Spock in the new movie should be able to do that. That should come second nature to him. He's probably getting paid a gazillion bajillion dollars, but Zachary Quinto had to glue his fingers together to perform the Vulcan salute when he played Spock. That's bull. How uncoordinated do you have to be to play a Vulcan on a multi-million dollar project and not know how to do the Vulcan salute? You gotta glue your fingers together.
Hey, have you ever tried to do that?
I could do it in my sleep on both hands. Straight up.
It takes a lot of effort for me to even do that, be honest and truthfully with you. Now, the one that really gets hard is when I do the Vulcan FU.
Ah.
Where you put the middle finger in between. Leave the middle finger go by itself.
Okay, I'm trying to do that myself. Now, that I guess that is a little tough. Anybody, if you know what he's talking about, I guess I'll let you determine that. So, that's my BS moment for the day. It's not much. Do you have anything? Or
no, I'm just trying to glance through some of your look through some of the stuff you have here.
Okay.
Well, the only thing I can see in here is the definitions. Go back up.
Mm-hmm.
Go back up. Right here. Star Trek fans called Trekkies or Trekkies or Trekkers.
Mm-hmm.
A Trekkie, folks, is an admirer of the science fiction television program Star Trek, hence a space traveler, one interested in trivializing in space travel. Trekkers are only fans listed by name in an Oxford dictionary.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I always thought it was some kind of politically correct thing about Trekkies and Trekkers, and I don't know.
It's BS. They're the same damn thing.
No kidding. I'm a Trekkie, and that's all I've ever been. That's all I ever be.
Oh, this is the other BS. U.S. Census receives thousands of forms where people claim to be a Star Trek race.
Really?
Yes!
So the census worker came knocking on your door asking you to define a Klingon?
No, I walked up to the door, and actually, he didn't even walk up to the door. I mailed it in.
Really?
Yeah. And yes, folks, I did put in there, I was Klingon, Romulan, Vulcan, white, non-Hispanic.
You did not.
I did too. And then it never came back.
Are you, Sirius.
Sirius is a heartbeat.
I cannot believe they didn't flag that one.
Well, no, because I put in white. Mm. I put in white Caucasian, non-Hispanic. But then I also added in the other three races.
Oh, man.
I'm bad. I know. I can't help it.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I want to try something that I was good, wanted to do, but I never did. I don't even know what the intro sounds like for this, so I don't remember doing this. So let's try this segment here.
And now it's time for This Time in Trek History. We look back at the last 45 years of Trek history to the defining moments. Tell me something. How many were you around for?
How many were you around for? Well, this goes back to our previous show time, but on August 25th, The Next Generation wins two Emmy Awards on that day in 1991 for Outstanding Sound Editing and the other for Outstanding Sound Mixing, and they're both on the same episodes, The Best of Both Worlds Part 2. Sharing the Sound Editing Award were Bill Winstrom, James Wolvington, Mace Matolesian, and Wilson Dyer. I should have practiced this before I did it. Masanobu Tamita, you know, other people that were there too. So, that was on that day in Star Trek history. Let's see, what else? August 30th, the score for the TOS episode The Doomsday Machine, composed by Saul Kaplan, was recorded on August 30th, 1967. The episode aired several months later on October 20th. Kaplan, a prolific film and television composer, also composed a score for the TOS episode The Enemy Within. So, that's a little bit of Trek history. And I can hear them screaming upstairs. Isn't that nice?
Is it our time to depart?
No, I don't think so. So, anyway. But everyone, don't forget, Starbase Indy. I want to be there. Brian will be there because, well, you know, it takes him 20 minutes to go across town to get there, whereas I'm going to have to hop a flight or drive another 16 hours. And the 16-hour drive ain't going to happen, but the flight doesn't look in my future. So I'm hoping to be there, but don't count your chickens until they hatch.
I won't count my chickens until I see the lobes of the Ferengi.
There you go.
And with Lou's ears, they're almost as big as a Ferengi's.
Almost as big, huh? All right. Well, since you didn't say it, we got to say it.
What, the Navy?
Yes, they do. So join the Navy, everybody, and defend your country.
It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
Want to piss off a Navy guy? Just ask him why they called them seamen. I don't know why, but maybe somebody can explain that to me. Well, actually, okay.
I can explain it to you, but unfortunately it's PG-13.
I was going to say, there must be a lot of dripping of it in the cargo hold. But anyway, cramped quarters, so to speak.
Oh, you have no idea.
Oh, man. So what was it like out at sea?
you don't want to know.
Well, let's just say I worked the graveyard shift, so I didn't have that problem.
Oh.
Everyone was gone when I was sleeping.
There you go.
I was awake when everybody was sleeping, so I didn't have to deal with that.
Absolutely. All right. Well,
I'm smart.
Tell me when you want to engage.
Engage, number one, before I have a coronary.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you for listening to tonight's show. Hopefully we weren't too boring. Next week, we promise to have some kind of a topic, and we won't have to wing it so much. Don't forget Starbase Indie. Go to starbaseindie.com. Check out my buddy boy, Buyer Brian, at bbtas.com, because we love you, boy. Good night.
Kaplah!